Yes, indeed. Thank you. That's our prayer, that the world will know that Christ exists because of our love. And I actually have it on good authority. Pastor Eric said that the bags would keep kids awake. And thank you, Coel. And I think maybe Chloe helped. Coel Gemberling and Chloe Gemberling reworked our worship bags, and they look great. They painted all those pictures on them. It was way more than I expected whenever Coel and I talked about reworking the worship bags. So thank you to them. But I have on good authority that Coy did fall asleep during the early service. So he told me that when he came back for Sunday school. So even though I had this toy setting up here, which is actually, if you saw the title of the sermon, it's Connections That Bring Wholeness. And so I thought, while I was working, I thought, I need something that demonstrates connections. And what better to demonstrate connections than a connecting toy? Although when I was building this structure, I realized that you really do have to connect these things properly, or you can't build a structure like this, that there's a good way to do it. And that's what we're going to learn about today. We're going to learn about the best sort of way to build connections in the body of Christ, to make sure that the body of Christ is structurally sound. Now, this can only take so much pressure because they're just little plastic things, but I actually tried to build the structure with just kind of disorganized, in a kind of disorganized way, where I just kind of randomly put them together and just tried to snap them together and get the structure to be as nice as that one without doing something in particular, which I'm going to talk about later in the message. And it just was difficult to get it to be very stable because it was pretty easily falling over. And so think about connecting things, and we'll do great throughout this message because we're going to be talking about the idea of connections in the body of believers. So we are in the second sermon in our series of 1 Thessalonians. It's called Word, Walk, Wait. And I think we're somewhere between the word and the walk, mostly on the walk side today. I'm not sure how many messages there are in this series. How many are there? 5. Okay. So we're somewhere between word and walk today. But this is the letter to the Thessalonians. That's a tongue-twisting word. Thessalonica is actually located up in the upper part of Greece, and there you can see where Rome is and Italy, so you kind of get a geographical positioning there. That Asia Minor, we now know that as Turkey. And so we can see that all of these churches are in there, and some of the books of the Bible in the New Testament come from these churches. We see Thessalonica for the First and Second Thessalonians. We have a letter to the Philippians. We have two letters to the Corinthians. We have one to the Ephesians, the Colossians, the Galatians. So this map, here we can see how these churches, Paul took his missionary journeys to these churches, and in these missionary journeys, he would stay for a little while in Thessalonica. I think the understanding is he stayed for maybe a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks or 4. And then there was a lot of pressure from the mob that was just not very happy about what he was doing in his ministry, and they chased him out of town. And fortunately, before that, he was blessed to have established a congregation that would continue to work in Thessalonica and would hopefully grow the church there. And so as we think about Paul's letters, we know that the letters were passed around to different churches and that these letters were important connection points for Paul. And in his letters, as we read his letters, all of them have the same sort of connecting principles that Paul used to help strengthen the church and make it a strong structure to go forward. And we know how strong it was because the church just grew. It just burgeoned forth. And even through incredible persecution, this church just grew so strong. And we are witness and testimony of that today as the Christianity spread all over the world. So we're going to be talking about the fact that the strength of the body of believers, in order to make a difference in the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that strength lies, in addition to our strong connection to God, it lies in our ability to be connected to one another, to build strong connections in the body of Christ together. And so hopefully, as we go through Paul's this scripture today, we will begin to see how to do that just a little bit better here at Buffalo Valley. Jesus actually talked about this in John chapter 17, has the prayer of Christ before he went to the cross the next day. So this was done kind of around the Last Supper. I think it might have been done in the garden. He might have prayed this in the garden, but his last prayer that he prayed that we have recorded in Scripture says this, that they, meaning the church, us, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Here Christ is praying. He's praying for our oneness. And being one would indicate that there is a strong connection among us. Being one means that a sense of understanding and acceptance of the otherness of each other exists between us. There are many differences between us, but yet we can be one when we accept one another's otherness. Being one indicates that there is a sense of welcome that turns into belonging. Being one means there's a strong connection. But we struggle with this. I think every pastoral team meeting that we have, and we have one about every other week on a Monday, we get together as a pastoral team and talk about what's going on in the church. I think every meeting we talk about how can we do a better job connecting people to the life of the church? How can we build strong community among us? We have this incredible opportunity to build this community. The desire for connection and belonging is something that the church has been given an assignment by the Almighty God to do. And in our day to day, I think the more things that we have to connect us, the more disconnected we are. I mean, it used to be you had a telephone and you had snail mail. If you didn't get together, you had a telephone and you had snail mail. And now we have, I don't know, list them, Twitter, email, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. I mean, it just goes on and on. But yet people are more connected, more disconnected than ever. And in fact, statistics show that 30% more people take their life today than they did 20 years ago. It is an incredible importance in our life that we have connection with one another and a sense of belonging. So let's look at this scripture from 1 Thessalonians and see what Paul has to teach us about being connected to one another. So as we read down over this, it's the whole chapter, all however many verses it is. Let's see. It's the whole chapter. And so as we read down over this, think about Paul's connecting with the church, what he's doing in his own relationship with the church that might help them feel connected to him, and then we'll talk about it. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all of our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live. Since you are standing firm in the Lord, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Here we see Paul just longing to get back, trying to figure out how that can happen, praying that God would bring him back because he longs for this connection with these folks. We see Paul taking great effort to make sure, the first thing that I'd like to point out is that we see Paul taking great effort to make sure that they understand how thankful and grateful he is for them and how valuable they are to him in the ministry of the gospel. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture for this purpose is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, which Eric actually covered last week, but I'd like to read it because it so exudes gratitude and thankfulness that Paul had. Here he writes, it's the second verse in the book of 1 Thessalonians, very first thing in his letter, he says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you." Not only does Paul communicate how grateful he is for the people in Thessalonica, he always also communicates how valuable they are to him, how much they are important. He says, "For God has chosen you. You are so important to the gospel." I believe this is one key element of building strong connections here at Buffalo Valley as well. When we express gratitude to and for others, we affirm their infinite worth to God and to the body of Christ. It's so important to us. So how well do we really do when it comes to expressing gratitude for one another? How well do we do when we express a sense of deep value for each other? I think we really get busy and we kind of neglect this. Today I just want to encourage us to step this up. And I know I do not express this enough. I know in my own life I'm so very grateful for all of you, and I just do not express it enough in meaningful ways. You are all people of incredible worth to this congregation, and I want to do my best to be connected to you. And I regret that I don't express that enough. I have lots of thank you cards beside my chair in my bedroom, thinking, I'm going to send thank you cards. I'm gonna do this. And so I keep buying, and I'll see a pretty pack of thank you cards someplace, like Keystone Housewares or wherever they sell cards like that. And I'll think, okay, I'm going to send thank you cards. And I just don't. I don't take the time to do it. A sociologist by the name of Brené Brown, who has done a lot of research and writing about this idea of connectedness and belonging, has discovered that people who have a strong sense of belonging and connectedness to others also believe that they are worthy of it. They believe they're worthy of it. One thing that keeps us out of connection is the feeling that we're not worthy of it. As I listened to her TED talk on this, I was amazed how well her findings as a secular, non-faith-based sociologist confirmed the ministry of Jesus Christ to me. Jesus came to reconcile our sense of unworthiness and to bring wholeness in our relationship with God and with one another. When we have wholeness in our relationship with God and others, we experience wholeness of life. And so hopefully you see how some of these puzzle pieces are fitting together. Out in secular society, they're studying this and they're saying, you know, people who are well connected also have a strong sense of worthiness. And what we can say is, we have the key to people understanding their worthiness so that they can then become connected, so that they can then open their lives up and be connected. The church's ministry is the ministry of reconciliation that helps bring people to a place where they understand their value and their worthiness of connection. This is a huge job for us. It's so important and so often neglected. Our expressions of gratitude and deep value for others are so very important in helping others feel a sense of connectedness and belonging. And so this week, I had already had this sermon written by the end of last week, and this week, Faith called me. And it was amazing how her story that she was going through over the last week is just resounding with my message. And she actually asked me before I was, she knew I was speaking this morning, she didn't know I was speaking this morning, she asked me, could I share in church? And I said, yeah, you can share. Would you like to? Are you okay? And so come on up. I'll come down here so it's a little less intimidating. That's okay. And you know what? Stay here. I'm going to get a microphone. And so she wanted to share about something that she would like to share with you as a congregation. I'm just going to come down here on the side of you.
I had some stuff prepared, but just going to hold that up there. Nerves and everything, and the devil's kind of been attacking me. But I've been going through a lot my whole life. I just felt in the world trying to fill this empty place in my life. Never knew how to fix it. I hurt and I made so many mistakes in my life just trying to get by, trying to survive, keep my kids off the street, worrying about what everybody thought, worrying about being judged, and hoping somebody on this world could just fix me. I grew up believing in God, but I didn't really understand what being a Christian was. I just thought, yo, I believed in Jesus. You know, you say you're sorry. That's enough. How do you know what feeling's what? Who's pulling you where? I just never knew. Everything was always in this world, and I just wanted somebody to fix my pain. There's so many people. There's addictions people don't understand. There's people killing themselves. They don't want to die. They just want the pain to stop, and they don't know what to do. They don't feel love. I knew God was there, but I didn't feel anything. I didn't understand how people say, oh, God talked to me. How do you know that was God and not just your assumption? Like, how do you really know? And I just never understood, and I just kept making mistake after mistake, ruining my life, ruining my children's lives, just trying to stay afloat. And I just didn't know what to do, and I just wanted somebody to fix me. And there's so many people giving up. There's all these kids at schools, they're killing people because they hurt. They just want the pain to go away, and they don't know what to do. And I just never knew how to have that relationship. And, you know, so many people try to come to church, and they don't want to come because they feel like there's hypocrites and they're being judged and looked at, and nobody understands. Everybody has their struggles. nobody knows what they're going through. People just need to be open and love them and show them that something's there. And I had recently somebody I thought was family completely betray me, betray my children. And it devastated me. These people were supposed to be helping me. Where's God? And sorry, I'm not a speaker. I'm kind of blanking out.
I'm going to share about your experience the other night with God.
Yes, when I finally realized God was like a father and he loved us, and I felt that love and I just felt lifted up, and I for once felt God speak to me. It's unexplainable feeling. And it can't be explained until you experience it, and it took me all these years. And once I realized nobody in this world is gonna fill that spot in my heart, and I let go of this world and stopped caring about getting nicer things because people are looking at me and I'm getting ahead, because it doesn't matter. None of this here matters. It's all going to go away. You're not going to take it with you. All that matters is that love and loving everybody and making everybody feel welcome and at home. We found our home here. Everybody has been so generous. I've had people give me the shoes off their feet because they loved us and they cared. Sorry. I had something really nice written. Once I realized God's really a father, me being a mother, I felt that love only he can fill. I can't remember anything I wanted to say.
You said quite a bit.
You did.
Can I pray for you?
Yes.
God, I just pray for faith. Thank you that you moved in her life, that you've been moving in her life, but that she experienced it, that she saw it, and that things are coming together for her understandings. Lord, I pray that you would continue to walk with her and her family, that you would help her to feel connected to this body of believers, to continue to feel connected, and that we would be able to help to strengthen and establish her in her life. Lord, we ask that you would continue working in her life each day. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Faith was sharing these things with me this week, and just that overwhelming sense of thank you so much for sharing was good. Now you're wondering now, because she's very vulnerable. She made herself very vulnerable this morning to share some of the things that were going on in her life. And that's what we're going to talk about next. We're going to talk about the importance of vulnerability. Being vulnerable with one another, because that is something that Paul did in this letter. He made himself very vulnerable. And you can see how all of that coming together, one of the things that we talked about was that faith began to feel worthy of God's love. This worthiness that, you know, is poured over her because of God's work in her life and because of you being there to help. And It just comes together. And so then we get to a place in our life where we are able to be vulnerable. And Paul made himself vulnerable to everybody. He shared himself deeply in his letters, just like Faith just did. When we share ourselves vulnerably, we open ourselves to connect with others, which helps bring wholeness in our relationships and helps strengthen the body of Christ. When we open up, when we allow ourselves to share vulnerably. I was having lunch with a friend the other day, and we were together. She was sharing with me the climax of her struggle over the last couple days. And as I listened, I was just trying to listen. I was trying to encourage her. And as we finished our meal, she suddenly said to me, "Danita, do you ever have any problems in your life? Because what are some of your problems? Because I feel like I'm the only one that has problems." And I stammered a little bit. I'm like, "I don't know. What problems might I have that I want to share?" And I kind of went through the file cabinet of my mind, and yeah, there's definitely problems there. But which ones? Oh, what should I pull out? And I realized that I was having trouble figuring out what to share because I was having trouble with my vulnerability in that moment. I wasn't in the position that I really wanted to maybe be as vulnerable or, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of a big thing. When we share ourselves vulnerably, we open ourselves to connect. And I realized that by sharing something of myself in that vulnerable way in that moment would have helped me deepen my relationship with my friend, and it would have probably helped to encourage and strengthen her in her struggle. And I probably didn't do very well in that moment. So on a regular basis, I passed by this house. And it wasn't built too long ago. It was built maybe in the last couple years. And everything around the house is really nice. And you can tell the homeowner takes a lot of pride in the way their house looks. And everything is very nice. It has a little bit of a driveway. And at the end of the driveway, there's two stakes with a string across the driveway and kind of little haphazard ribbons to make sure everybody sees the string. And then there's no trespassing sign here and another sign about no trespassing there. And so when I look at this house and I drive by, I don't want to judge the person who lives there. I don't know the homeowner. I don't know what they've been through in their life, and that's not the point of my story. They may have very good reasons to have a rope across their driveway. But every time I drive by, I evaluate, in a sense, myself. And I say, gee, do I have a rope across my driveway? How many times am I putting up barriers and no trespassing signs and not really allowing people to see me and who I am? Because I know that when I am vulnerable and open to sharing, I deepen my connections with people. Now, I realize that we need to, you know, there's some appropriateness in vulnerability. It's not appropriate for me to sit down across the table and share the deepest struggles that I'm having with my husband with just anybody. You know, there are some appropriateness things there. But I think there is a level that Christ is calling us to be open with one another and sharing. What Brené Brown, the person I referred to earlier, has found in her extensive research is that people who allow themselves to be vulnerable with others also have a strong sense of worthiness. Again, this connection with worthiness. They have the courage to be imperfect, telling their story with their whole heart. She calls them wholehearted people. And they can take down the string of no trespassing across the end of their driveway. When we accept that we are worthy of connection, our desire to experience the joy of connection overcomes the fear attached to letting others into our story. And I did actually put the information for the TED Talk that I listened to, Brené Brown on vulnerability, if you want to listen to it. It is a secular, it's not a faith-based talk or anything, so be prepared for that, but it is very helpful, I think. But as followers of Jesus, we have everything we need to build faith communities where people ravaged by a world that is structured to shame them into unworthiness because of imperfection can come, because of imperfection, people can come and be strengthened and established in a faith that is built on the fact that God sees each one as worthy of his love and has given his very self so that we can be connected to him. It is in this place that we are called to demonstrate the kingdom of God on earth, where imperfection is loved and where God's perfect love will cast out the fear of rejection, disconnectedness, and worthiness. Jesus teaches us that our beauty is found in the midst of our imperfection as we trust God to perfect us for his purpose. In our conversation that I had with Faith this week, we talked a lot about that. The fact that she's not perfect, but she sees that God loves her in the midst of her imperfections. That's what he loves. And he can use that. He can use that for his purpose. So very much. We are all on this journey of worthiness and vulnerability. And when we are firing on all cylinders spiritually, when we're having our best spiritual time in our faith walk and relationship with Christ, we confidently find our entire identity in Christ. And along with that comes our understanding of our infinite worth and a strength and courage to be vulnerable, knowing that it is in our imperfections and weaknesses that we experience most deeply his grace and love. That is the perfect place, in a sense, for us to be spiritually. And those are my understandings of truth about my faith. And that's what I'm thinking when I wake up in the morning, if I'm feeling good, wake up in the morning and I'm praising God that he, you know, wow, God, you are just there for me. I know I'm worthy of who you are. And then my feet hit the floor. And life kind of, remember this, remember that. And I begin to feel like a turtle crossing a road. Have you ever seen a turtle crushed on the road? Ever seen a turtle crossing the road? You think, boy, that turtle's vulnerable. Because the next car that comes along might crush that turtle. And I always feel so bad for turtles, more so than groundhogs. Because groundhogs just live a little short period of time and they dig huge holes in farmers' fields. And we take care of groundhogs as much as we can. The turtles, they're just long. They have this long life, and they're just kind of ancient animals. And, oh, I hate to see one crushed on the road. Some mornings, some days, I feel like I'm this turtle crossing the road, and there's cars going by me, and I suck my head in. I, oh, don't crush me. Don't crush me, you know. And then there's other days where I feel like Frodo and Samwise, as they're lifted by the eagles in the Return of the King. Oh, there's my turtle crossing the road. I forget I have these pictures. There's a turtle crossing the road. He has his head out. And this is a picture, if you can't see it very well, it's the picture from Lord of the Rings where Frodo and Samwise are picked up by the eagles and carried to safety. And some days I feel like that. And that's really the way we are in our cycle of vulnerability and worthiness. Sometimes we are kind of feeling like that turtle on the road. But we need to know. We need to know the truth about who we are. And when we're feeling like that turtle in that vulnerable, with our vulnerability and worthiness, we need to know that it's the eagles, that they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. And that's really what God wants for us. And we go through these things in regular cycles. And hopefully the deeper our walk becomes, the more we learn about God and the more he's a part of our life, we will be on eagle's wings more often than we're going to be turtles on the road. And we need to trust that that will happen. I can testify that that has happened in my own life. It's very important as part of the body of believers that we understand the need for us to come here and be vulnerable, because that makes us people who can be connected with. And I discovered when I was building my little tower here that as part of the body of believers, one of the best things we can do to be a person that is connected with and to be a person that is connecting with others, to be a person that is vulnerable so that others can allow themselves to connect with us, is to become part of a small group. Because when I tried to build my little thing here without making little small groups, I didn't have much success in building a structure that was gonna get very tall. It just was too weak, it would wanna fall over. But when I started building these little small groups and put my clusters together, that's when my structure became solid. And when you are involved in a body of believers and you're in a small group, what you do is you also, in addition to being fed yourself and being able to connect with others, you strengthen us as a body of believers, because we need those small groups to strengthen us. Because you're making vulnerable and important connections with other believers, and you're edifying and strengthening one another. It's very important. So try to find a way to be in a small group of believers so that you can be strengthening the body of Christ. So there's one more thing I'm going to cover very quickly here that Paul did, and he prayed for the believers in the churches. In every letter we see this. Praying for one another is the most powerful and effective thing that we can do for one another. And it's really the easiest thing that we can do. We don't even have to talk to somebody to pray for them. Although, letting people know that you're praying for them is really encouraging and very helpful. Ever since, especially over this last year when I have this job as moderator-elect of the denomination, I've had so many people just tell me they're praying for me. And it's so meaningful to me. I have people in this body of believers who have sent me cards in the snail mail telling me they're praying for me, have emailed me and said they're praying for me, or just tell me when they see me. And that's so important. I have one former moderator-elect who sends me a snail mail card every so often just to let me know that he's praying for me. It's not anybody that I really know, but even that is a very important connection for me and so encouraging. Many times as a pastor, I will tell people that I'm praying for them, and sometimes I feel like it's a little bit of a cop-out. I wish I could do something more tangible. But I believe in our prayer time, we do come, as we pray for people, the Holy Spirit will inspire us to those more tangible things that we can do. So Paul prayed for two things very quickly: for the strengthening of hearts. He prayed that their hearts would be strengthened because he knew they were going to be tempted, and he wanted them to have a strong heart. One thing that really moves me is that Jesus also did this. In Luke 22, we read Jesus talking to all the disciples, but particularly to Simon, and he says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you all as wheat. But I have prepared for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." And then Jesus goes on to tell Simon that he's going to betray him. There's a lot in this scripture that we can talk about, and we don't have time to talk about this morning. But the point for today out of this scripture is that Jesus was praying for the disciples. And if Jesus did it, we should do it. Jesus did not do anything that was not important and meaningful. He prayed for his disciples that they would be strong. We need to do that. The second one is Paul prayed for the increasing of love for one another, and we talked about this very first in the message. We talked about the idea that he prayed for us to be one as he was one, and that we would be unified, and that we would love one another, because that's how the world was going to know. He knew it was so important in this church that he was establishing in Thessalonica and Corinth and Philippi and Colossae and Galatia. He knew how important it was that the believers prayed for one another, and he modeled that. He prayed for their increasing love for one another. So I encourage you today on these three things to make sure that the people we touch know of our gratitude for them and that they are people of infinite worth to this body. To do that on a regular basis. To be vulnerable, sharing yourself in a wholehearted way. It's only in our vulnerability that we are people who can be truly connected with, strengthening the body of Christ. Pray for each other for the strengthening of their heart and for love to grow. These are all things that I see happening here at Buffalo Valley. I see this. We don't do it perfectly, and we can do it better. As the body of believers, we should just be trying greater and greater measure to do this for one another. My encouragement is for you to be strong, to be established, to be connected, and to be a connector. Let's pray. Father, you have given us such incredible instructions on how we can be the church and how we can be connected and be the body of Christ, and how that then helps us to be whole and wholehearted. I thank you for Faith's testimony, where she is beginning to understand how she can be whole. I thank you for this body of believers and others that have poured into her life. May this be the testimony of us in many, many lives. May many people who come through these doors experience your wholeness, because we have shared, we have helped them understand what it means to be whole. Father, we just thank you, and we pray for your ongoing presence among us. In Jesus' name, amen.